As soon as you really put your faith in the book, it'll start working in your life. Let's quickly just name the two we had last week. The privilege of prayer, verse 6, said, be careful for nothing. That Old Testament, Old English word careful means worry, like don't care, don't be over caring about something. When we say careful, we're talking about, well, be careful, you know, don't fall down steps, something like that. But in the Bible, when it says careful, it means like don't worry yourself to death over something. But by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So the Bible talks about the privilege of prayer is to help us. Now think about it. Imagine if you had problems in your house. Miss Desi told me she'd having some problems over her house. The heat's been out and she's had a pretty rough winter and all that. Imagine if you got an audience with the city manager over here, and they was going to let you just tell them whatever you think's wrong with your neighborhood, and you could, man, we'd say, Lord, hallelujah. Buddy, I'm gonna get all my stuff wrote down, and I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to tell them what I need. And that's what the Bible says we can do to God. We can go right into God's presence and say, Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. And this ain't what I'm going to talk about, but remember this, y'all. There's nothing too small that you can't pray about it. There's nothing too big that you can't pray about it. There's nothing too big or small. You say, well, the Lord ain't interested in my little old bitty problem. Yes, He is. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. You know how I know that? One sparrow don't fall to the ground without God noticing it. One sparrow. If He takes notice of a little bird dropping dead out there over in Linville Gorge somewhere, I'll guarantee you He's concerned about you paying your light bill. Or your kid having problems at school. Or your needs, whatever that might be. And I hadn't been drinking. I got some big old giant guy fell on my foot ankle last night and about broke it. So I've not been drinking. It hurts. And so let's remember that we have the privilege of prayer. The privilege of prayer. Then, number two, we talked about the peace of God that keeps us. Look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, here's what I love, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let me tell you, that's a verse, people. That's a verse. Glory to God. We ought to all memorize that. Because sometimes I've been in a mess. And I've been in a mess where I thought, Lord, I'll never get out of this. Ain't no way. And the peace of God kept my heart and my mind. And you know what? It passed understanding. You can't even understand it. You can't even understand how God's working, but He's working. Have you ever been to a place where you say, I have no idea how all this is going to work out. But the peace of God comes over you? It passeth understanding. Let me tell you something. You don't have to understand the way out of your problems. All you got to do is trust Him, and the peace of God will keep your heart and your mind. I've heard people say, well, Brother Danny, my mind just drives me crazy. My mind just wanders here. I knew a preacher, and I noticed that every time I was around this preacher, everything that come up, his wife said, we can't afford it. Y'all want to go to McDonald's after church? We can't afford it. We can't afford it. We can't afford it. And, I mean, and they wasn't raking in the money or nothing, but my goodness, she just had this. The devil had convinced her that they was always going to be broke and always going to be, you never have nothing and everything. And I thought, you can't live like that. You got to say, Lord, your peace has to keep my heart and mind. And I told you that story about Larry Brown, and I pass that on to the rest of you that wasn't here last week. I'll say it one more time right quick. Old Larry Brown, a great preacher, and he was preaching down in Arkansas. Was it Alabama? Alabama, that's right. And down in Alabama, and they told him before church, they said, Brother Larry, the richest man in the state of Alabama is going to be here tonight. Richest man in the state. Said he owns something or other. What did I say he owned? Food line, that's right. Food line. On the food line chain. He's going to be here tonight. And old Larry, you know, he's always happy. He got the victory, glory to God. He got up and preached a little while, and he said that man who was the richest man in Alabama came up to him at the church and shook his hand. He said, I'd give half of what I own to have half of what you act like you've got. He said, I'd give half of everything I own to have half of what you've got. And you know what that means, y'all? The world out there, they really want what we've got. They want God and peace. They want peace in their heart and peace in their mind. They want security. They want love. They want somebody to care about them. That's what the world wants. Everybody on TV, that's what they want. You know why them people in Hollywood's on drugs? Because they want peace. They want to find some kind of relief from their burdens and problems and you know why people get drunk? They get drunk so that I escape my problems and I don't have to worry and everything. But listen, the book says the peace of God will keep your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ. So that's what we talked about last week. Now, let's get these other ones right quick. Look at verse 9. The presence of God to accompany us. Verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I hear people say all the time, well, how do I know if God's really with me? He's with you. You're living right and you're doing what He said. He is with you. If you can't feel Him, that don't mean nothing. I don't feel the sun right now, but it's shining. It's shining over here in China somewhere. But it's shining. And I'm going to tell you something, buddy. The presence of God to accompany us. Amen. Sometimes you go into places where you need the presence of the Lord. Whether on your job, have you ever had to meet with somebody? I had to meet with the zoning board one time up in Marion. And we was trying to get a permit to build something and everything. And I believe spiritual forces are at work and stuff like that. I believe the devil's trying to stop you and the Lord's trying to help you. And man, I prayed and 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 I prayed. And I said, Lord God, go with me, Lord God. So I go in there and sit down, and they got one of these long, big business tables, you know, big table where the president sits at the top and all. And I was sitting about halfway down. Here I was, and there was the city manager and the mayor and all these guys sitting around. And they said, Reverend Castle would like to request, we was building the building up there, marrying the church at New Manna, and we had this thing about seats, the seating capacity. Well, obviously, I was wanting to put as many seats in as we possibly could, and they have all these laws. You have to have so many doors. You have to have so many bathrooms. You have to have so many. And you know what I've done? I said, Lord, go with me. Lord, go with me. Lord, go with me. Buddy, I'm telling you, when I got in there that night, it come my time to speak, and honestly, it felt like the Lord come on me. And them guys, when you have a business meeting or a meeting with like all you school teachers and if you're a boss at work or whatever, the Lord goes with you when you have to have a conference with somebody. The Lord ain't just with us at church, y'all. He's with you when you have to go in the boss's office and sit down. Amen. He's with you when you have to sit down with that person that's wanting to sue you. Amen. I've done that too. Amen. We had a guy threaten to sue the church one time. And I prayed up and sat down and talked to him, and the Holy Ghost come down, and we never did hear another word out of him. The zoning board, they said, now Danny, that building can only seat, I forgot what they said, it was a ridiculous number, like 600 or something like that. I said, that ain't right. I said, it's got to be more than that. And they said, well, we go by pews. And I said, well, how do you measure seats by a pew? You can't tell how many people sit on a pew. It ain't like chairs like that right there. And they looked it up in the code book, and it said 18 inches per person. That's how they figure seat. Y'all know if you knew this, but when they're figuring a church auditorium, they figure 18 inches is a seat, average. And the Holy Ghost come down. And I said, look, y'all, look at us. Ain't none of us, little as I am, I take up 18. I guarantee you that's 18 inches. And look at me. And every one of them guys was a lot bigger than me. And they got to looking down like this and all that. It was funny. They was all looking. And you know, they said, well, you know, he's right. I said, why? I said, why don't we go 24? I said, the average person, if you count babies or little skinny people, that averages out. Lord have mercy. We used to take probably 30, most of y'all take 30 inches time you sprawl out there and cross your legs and everything. And you know what they done? They did it. So we figured 24 inches a person and it really seated a whole lot more than what it was originally designed for. And you know what I believe? I believe the Lord came in there that day. And when we had a dedication service, the manager, the mayor came, and I let him give a little testimony, and he stood up there and he said, Brother Danny is a good preacher. He said he's a good negotiator too. He said, I remember a thing we had about a discussion about seating capacity. And we laughed and everything. And you know what? The Bible said his presence. Look at that verse 9. It said, the God of peace shall be with you. The God of peace shall be with you. Boy, I've been having a meeting before, and there'll be a husband and wife fighting, about ready to kill each other. And I'll say, meet me in my office at 6 o'clock this evening or 5 o'clock this evening. And you know what I do? I say, Lord, go with me. Lord, go with me. Lord, go with me. And I go in there and I say, I believe the Lord's on me right now. All right, you say what you got to say. Say it. You hush. Let them say whatever they would say. All right, you say whatever you want to say. You hush. And the whole time they're talking, I'm praying. Hold on, I'm saying, the Lord, them. And I've done got my mind made up what I'm going to say with Scripture before they ever get through with their argument. And when they get through, I say, all right. Here's what the Bible says. And try to be fair. And they say, man, you really helped us. You know what? The God of peace shall be with you. The God of peace shall be with you. Y'all take the Lord. Let the Lord go with you to work. Let the Lord go with you to school, kids. Let the Lord go with you when you go in that science class, biology class, math class. I believe He can help you on tests. I believe He can help you. I mean, you know, it ain't like you don't study and expect Him to give you the answers, but, you know, you do your best. You do your best, and the God of peace shall be with you. The God of peace shall be with you. You can say, well, I tell you a good time to carry this verse. When you're in the doctor's office and you're waiting on results from a test. I'm telling you what. I've never been in that. I've never been, let's see if I have. Let's see. What I did when I hurt my knee that time, I was saying, oh, Lord, let it just be a sprain. Let it just be a... And the doctor came in and said, well, you've ripped your ACL right in two. And I said, ugh, that ain't what I wanted to hear. But you got, if the God of peace is with you, then you can, you're ready for it. When you get those... Brother Wayne, you know, Brother Wayne's been in Florida the last couple of weeks. I think he's supposed to be coming back this weekend. And he had two more spots on his head, dark spots that he had to go check to see if it was cancer. And I'm telling you, when you go sit down in the doctor's office and they pull out the report and say, here's the results, you want the God of peace with you. You want the God of peace with you. Well, buddy, you know, that'll tell you like I did Bo. You know, it's in your lymph nodes. It's all over your body. You might as well pick you out a casket in so many words. You better hope the God of peace with you. By the way, that time is coming for all of us. Eventually. You're not going to cheat it forever. And when, just remember me telling you this. If you'll do what you've seen, heard and learned and received, the God of peace shall be with you. The God of peace shall be with you. Amen. They can't do nothing with a Christian who the God of peace is with. All right? Let's look at the next one here. Number 4, verse 10. The pattern of other people before us. Look at verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Now that means these other Christians taking care of the Apostle Paul. He said, your care of me hath flourished. They helped him. They helped him financially. They helped him with whatever he needed for his travels and his missionary journeys and stuff. And that's a pattern. We're supposed to take a pattern from us. I go into a lot of churches sometimes and, man, I see all these flags around the walls and stuff, and the missionaries they support. And I say, glory to God, that's a blessing to see a church support missionaries all over the world. And of course, you know, we're supposed to do it here and there. We do it a little bit different because of our situation, of our bus ministry. They come here and they see all these buses and running everywhere, and they go, wow. I hear that all the time. Our bus ministry is a testimony and a witness to this whole county and area. Somebody told me, in Alabama, they said, I come through there the other day, and I looked up, and there was all them buses lined up in the back. That's why I like for y'all to fellas, to line them up back there. It's a testimony, not to show off, but to put people under conviction. Amen? Make them think that's what we ought to be doing. Amen? We ought to be running buses. We ought to be picking up boys and girls. And there are churches running buses because of us. He said, so it's a pattern of other. How many times have you been in a mess and then you thought about some other Christian who went through that same mess and it helped you? A pattern that they had set. Lord, I couldn't tell y'all. I couldn't tell y'all the times when I thought, how am I going to make it? And I'd think of Ed McAbee. I remember hearing Brother Ed tell about how hard he had it growing up. And I remember him tell about when he was little, somebody poured a hot water or grease one off the stove and it went right down his back and almost burned him to death when he was a little kid. And then the trouble he had during the service and the troubles in the ministry. And his wife, for many, many years, was so sick he couldn't even leave her. I had to take care of her for years. And I remember thinking about, Brother Ed can hang in there. I can hang in there. I remember when I'm going through a hard time, I always think about when I'm fasting. And I'm fasting and there's people eating around me. Or we go out to eat and people, you know, just sit there or something like that. And I, you know what I think about? The pattern of others. I think about Miss Kerr. And I remember one time we went on a trip and Miss Kerr went with us. And we had a busload of young'uns and we was going up somewhere up near Washington, D.C. And Miss Kerr was fasting. And we didn't even know she was fasting, but she was fasting. And she sat back there on that bus. We stopped meat. She didn't, are you not going to eat? No, no thanks. She didn't say, I'm fasting, you know, put on a, disfigure her face and appear to men to fast like the Pharisees did. She said, no, I'm not going to eat. Well, then the bus tore up. The bus tore up and we had to have a starter or something. And it was a big old diesel, like a Greyhound. And it's 7 o'clock at night. You ain't going to get no parts for a bus like that. Nowhere. There was nowhere open. So we got it into a convenience store and we literally stayed there from about 7 that night to about 10 o'clock the next morning, right there in that church parking lot. Packed full of kids and no place to sleep. No, and those kids was running off of that bus going in that store, drinks and candy bars and ice creams and everything, and she sit there like this the whole time. I mean, can you imagine? No sleep, no food, for about a day and a half, almost 2 days, and bless her heart, I felt sorry for her, and they was out there tiring in honey buns and eating peanuts and Pepsis and everything, and she sat there like this the whole time. And you know, sometimes when I'm fasting and I'm around food, I think about that. I think about it. Sometimes it'll help you to think about people that went through hard times before you. That's why when I run in the, I didn't run this morning, y'all. Can you believe that? I'm a sissy. I run in the cold. Reason I didn't run today because I thought if I let it get better today, I'll be able to run tomorrow night. But I run in the snow and stuff. And people say, you run in the snow? And I always say, if Rocky can do it, I can do it. Rocky, but you know, Rocky didn't really. That was a fake thing. But that's what I say. But you know what? You think about, man, if Rocky can do it, I can do it. And you always say, if Brother Danny can make it, I can make it. If so-and-so can make it, I can make it. I've had a bunch of people come up and tell me, Brother Danny, I know you've been through a hard time. Hallelujah. If you can make it, I can make it. And you know what? The Lord used me as a guinea pig a lot of times to help people. If I can make it, you can make it. If I can make it through what I've been through, ain't nobody in here can't make it what you're going through. Amen? And that's what that verse is talking about. He said, I thought about your pattern, the care of me and the things that you've done, and it helps me. It helps me. I think about people here that are faithful to our church. Miss Desi plays that piano, and Brother Mike drives that bus, and all. And I don't tell y'all often, but that's a blessing to me to see somebody just keep plowing on and plowing on and plowing on. You don't realize it, but when other people think about quitting, they think about you. And they think, glory to God, if they can do it, I can do it. Amen? Anybody got an illustration or something like that happened to you? Or your daddy, or I think about my daddy a lot of times. When I wanna lay down and do nothing, I think about my daddy. He went to work every day. He walked in the snow, and guys that worked there at the mill pass him up in a car. And daddy walked worked in the snow, and never missed. Never, ever, ever missed. And that helps me. It helps me. So your faithfulness will help others. Anybody? Right quick. Okay? All right. Let's get the next one. Number five. Let's hurry along here and we'll be done. Number five is the peace of God will calm you. Look at verse 11. Look at verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. That means whatever condition you find yourself in, just say, thank God. I mean, boy, I'm telling you, that's a verse, y'all. That's a verse. If you can learn that and get it in your heart, you can be a rich person. I see people, I meet a lot of people, and every time you see them, I just wish I was rich. I wish I was rich. I wish. You know who a rich person is? A person that's content with what they've got. I heard Bruckman say that on, he was preaching a message one time, and somebody told him there's a rich man down the road, said, man, man's got all kinds of money. And he's doing this, trying to get more, more, more. Nothing wrong with that. But he said, I got more money than he does. And they said, how's that? He said, I got more money in my pocket right now than that rich man does. He said, how do you figure that? He said, I got all I want. I got all I want. And he don't. He don't. Man, I'm telling you, a man got the victory. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with striving, trying to make a good living, but be content with what you have. Just look, I mean, I think it's a bad idea to go shopping all the time and looking at houses and looking at cars. You fool around them car lots long enough, you're going to start wanting a new car. And you start looking at houses and looking at new houses and looking at that, you're going to start wanting. Sometimes you need to just look. Look, our church ain't the nicest one in town, people, but it sure ain't the worst either. God's been good to us. We got chandeliers. We got a heap. We got solid oak floors up here that I preach on. We got pews and listen, God's been good to us. If we're just happy with what we've got, then you're content. Be content. Be content with what you got. Now, it don't mean that you're not supposed to be, that you're not supposed to try to better yourself. You should try to better yourself. You should. There's nothing wrong. I mean, if y'all go buy a new car tomorrow, I won't think bad of you. I'll say praise God. But be happy with it. Be happy with what you got. Some people, it don't matter what they got. It ain't good enough. It ain't good enough. I always want something else. And just be happy with what God gives you. Don't be lazy and use that for an excuse. But be happy. Be content. Be content. Amen. Be contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. All right, number six. Number six, the power of Christ to strengthen us. Boy, this is important. Look at verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's why I preach that message. Can't. You know, I preached a long time ago. Can't, never could do nothing. Probably need to preach that again. It's been eight or 9 years, and half of you wasn't here. I probably need to preach on it again sometime, but then I'll have somebody say, well, I've heard that before. You know how that goes. But anyway, he said, I can. Can't was not in his vocabulary. Can't is nowhere in. There's nowhere in the New Testament where anybody said, I can't. And you hear people all the time saying, well, I can't. I just can't. I can't fast. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You say, I can't tithe. You mean I won't tithe. That's what you mean. You can through Christ that strengtheneth you. You can't do it by yourself, but you can do all things through Christ. You say, well, does that mean I can go out there and jump in front of a tractor and trailer? And it won't. No. It means I can do anything God wants me to do. That's what that means. I can do all things, whatever He wants me to do, I can do it through Christ. And buddy, I found that out. I can pastor, I can preach, I can win souls, I can be a witness through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You can't do it by yourself. You can't do it with your own strength. It's not by talent. It's not by willpower. It's not by your wit. It's not by your education or your looks or ability. It's through Christ who strengtheneth me. Amen. That's right. You just get in there and pray and pray and pray and pray for a while, and the Lord will give you strength. I read this illustration thing about sitting there praying. God, Guy come in one morning, hadn't been married very long. His wife wasn't a real good cook. And he came in, and there was stuff on the stove boiling, and she was sitting there like this. And he looked around, looked around, looked around. He said, "What in the world?" And there was the direction that said, "Put on the stove, do not stir for 15 minutes. That nut thought she was supposed to sit there as ill, but anyway, sometimes do you good not to stir for 15 minutes. Get in the closet and get a hold of God. Get in the closet. You can do a lot of praying in 15 minutes, y'all. You can do a lot of praying in 15 minutes. You sure can. Now, hard times, I'm going to say this thing or two and I'll let you go. Hard times, we don't like it, but it's good for us. The hardest times of my life, I can look back right now and say I learned more, I grew more through them hard times than I did in the good times. Boy, if I look back and say, what's the best time you ever had in your life? I'd say with a bunch of people shouting, praising God, and living with the Lord, that's the best time I ever had in my life, by far. But if you ask me, Danny, where did you grow more? I would have to look back to the times I was laying in the bed with my face down in the pillow crying my eyes out. And not knowing what I was going to do. That's where you grow. That's where you grow, right there. Hard time. Give you an illustration. A bar of steel, solid steel, just a little bar, is worth $5. If they beat it into horseshoes, it can be worth $100. That same bar of steel. Beat it, beat it, beat it. Hard time. If they grind it up and touch in the needles, it's worth $350. If it's made in the knife blades, it can be worth $3,000. That same bar of steel, worked and mashed and burnt and smashed and hit and sand, whatever. And if they make it into springs that go in watches, it can be worth $250,000. The more it's beat, the more it's hit, the more it's twisted, the more it's hurt, the more it's tortured, the more it's worth. And a Christian, the same way. The harder times you go through, the more you're worth for the family and kingdom of God. You know what made Paul a great man? A night and a day in the deep. He was tortured. He was beat 3 times. Paul's education didn't make him great. You know what made Paul great? Sufferings. He said the suffering. That suffering. And we don't like that. That's what they ought to do to them boys in seminary. When they go to seminary, learn how to preach, they ought to make a suffering class. Just take them in there and starve them and beat them half to death and leave them in there for a couple of weeks. I'd do something. I guarantee you learn something like that that you would never learn reading a book. Amen? Hard times. Hard times, buddy. That's the way you learn. Amen? Well, you can't do nothing with a Christian. Do you know the world can't do nothing with a real Christian? Somebody said, the world said, I'll banish you. I'll take you out on a desert island somewhere and leave you. And he said, thou canst not banish me. The whole world is my Father's house. Wherever you put me, I'm still right with my Father. And the killer said, I will slay thee. And the Christian says, thou canst not. My life is hid with Christ in God. If you kill this body, I'll get another one that'll live forever and ever and ever. He said, well, I'll take away thy treasure. The Christian said, thou canst not. My treasure is in heaven, where moth can't corrupt, thieves can't break through and steal. And he said, well, I will drive you from your friends. He said, you can't. I've got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and you can't never take me away from him. Hallelujah. Lord have mercy, you can't do nothing with a Christian. That's why in the old days when they'd kill one, three would pop up. When they'd persecute a church, God would start a nothing somewhere. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. Hallelujah. When you got saved, you got hooked up with the right outfit, people. He's a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. Well, let me give you this last one, and we are done. Number 7 is verse 19. These are 7 things you got in Philippians 4. But my God shall supply all your need. Lord, in mercy, according to His riches and glory, by Christ Jesus. You say, well, I wanted a new hat and God didn't give it to me. He didn't say He'd give you everything you wanted. Well, everything you want ain't your needs. Sometimes you want something you don't need. I'll guarantee you one thing, He'll supply your need. He'll supply your need. That's the promise of God to provide. Amen. You know why we're having cold weather right now? Because this is what we need. It'll freeze maybe tonight? It's what we need. God gives us what we need. We might not understand it. We may not like it. Just like us and you, if you're a good parent, you give your children what they need. You don't always give them what they want, but you make sure their needs are took care of. Even when you're mad at them. Man, my girls, like if my girls, if they had to have, let's say they had to have $15 for the yearbook. And then one of them got in trouble. They were like, I was mad at them. I want to beat them half to death and everything. I'd still lay that $15 down there on the counter and give them what they needed. Even though I was upset with them. You know, ain't that the way the Lord does us? He takes care of us. He takes care of us even when we don't deserve it. Even when we ain't acted right. Amen. Woo! He still takes care of us. Listen, some of y'all, you've been backslid and full of the devil and everything else, and there's food on your table the next morning when you got up. Your car took you to work. God let you breathe and have, I mean, He could have killed you just like that, but He didn't. He took care of us. Well, glory to God. Ain't that good? Come on, Miss Desi, you come to the piano this evening, and we're gonna pray tonight. I want every head bowed, every eye closed, and I want her to play something softly, whatever she feels like playing tonight. We'll not have any singing, just she's going to play softly. God may be speaking to your heart here this evening. If He is, maybe you just slip out of your seat and make a trip down here to this altar and let's pray. Maybe you ain't been trusting Him. Maybe you haven't been living for Him like you should. Be a good time. Be a good, good time. Just come down here and get down on your knees and get right with the Lord. Come on. Amen. Amen. Come on right now. Maybe you're here tonight and say, Preacher, I need prayer. Preacher, I know I'm saved, but I ain't been living like I should live. Please pray for me. Just slip up your hand, take it right back down. We'll pray for you tonight.